All right. You guys ready to get to the Word of God this morning? Yeah. You guys excited just to be in the time and season that we're in? I mean, are you excited for the things that Jesus has invested in each one of you, called you to do, the things that we can't even see or fully know or realize yet? But He's called each one of us and prepared each one of us to do things to glorify Him, to do things. He's got a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And that plan and that purpose is to bring glory to His name. What an honor that is. And it's so important for us to remember that on a daily basis. Because it's easy to get up every day and think about the things that are before us, the things that we know are scheduled on our calendar, those things that we know that we have to do. And we focus on those things and lose sight of the bigger picture and the bigger truth, which is He has an agenda for you. He has things for you to do every single day. And if we don't yield ourselves to Him at the start of each day and learn to listen and hear as He speaks to us and give ourselves over to Him, we're going to miss some of those opportunities that He has. People He's bringing across your path that too many times I've just let them go past me without stopping to invest or stopping to be the vehicle or the tool that He had intended for me to be for that moment. He's got things for us every single day. And again, it is an honor that He chose to create you to live in this moment in human history. No other time except for this moment as we're getting closer and closer to the end. He chose you to be a part of that. And He's got a purpose for us. And that is exciting. That's exciting. We never forget that. That's not the message today, though. Well, it kind of does tie in somewhat. So far this year, we've considered what it is to have audacity of faith as we serve Him. And then that led us into learning to understand or learning how to listen and hear His voice as He speaks to us on a daily basis. And then from that, we came to understand that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls each one of us by name on a daily basis. Now, we've also observed that it's true that in the Bible, God calls a lot of people by name. There's a lot that He calls by name, but there's only 7 individuals that we see that God calls by name twice, like Samuel, Samuel, or Moses, Moses. Only 2 that we see like that. And we saw there's a lot of reasons for this, but part of the reason, and the part that really pertains to what we're talking about, is because there's 2 yous. There's 2 realities of who you are. There is the you that is existing in this physical world, and there is the you that you have the potential to become in Him, in Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is calling each one of us by name. He is calling the fullness of you, the complete creation that you are. He is calling the fullness of you into the fullness of His kingdom so He can use you to His glory. Now, we saw last week that Peter, Simon Peter, was one of the individuals that Jesus called by name twice. And we saw that his name Peter, we all know Peter means a small stone or a small rock. But we also saw last week that his given name, Simon, his given name is also significant because it means he who hears. And with greater specificity, it means he who hears with understanding and obedience. The one who learns to hear with understanding and obedience is the one who will be able to hear Him calling you by name twice. The one, as we learn to hear and understand with obedience, as we learn to hear with understanding and obedience, we position ourselves so that Jesus can bring us out of the things of this world. I'm talking about the things that restrain us, the things of this world that hold us back. Oftentimes it's things we're not even aware of. But if we learn to listen and hear with understanding and obedience, we position ourselves to be moved out of, free from those things of the world so that He can move you into your full potential in Him. That's where we need to be. And especially in this time and season, that's where we need to be constantly. Now, we saw that Jesus called Simon by name twice, knowing that Satan was going to sift him. He was going to sift Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. But then He also said to Simon Peter, when you return, strengthen your brethren. Now, Satan sifted Peter because he did not want Simon Peter to become all that he could be in Jesus Christ. Satan did not want Peter to be the one who would open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. He didn't want Peter to write the epistles. He didn't want Peter to be the leader of the church. He didn't want Peter to be the person that we read about and that we learn lessons from still today, 2,000 years later. But in understanding that, we also need to understand that Satan does not want you to reach your full potential, to become all that you can be in Jesus Christ either. But the great news is, Jesus is interceding for you daily, just like he did with Simon Peter. Now we know that Peter denied Jesus three times. But we also know in John chapter 21, at the end, the very end of John's gospel, we see that moment of Peter's return, just as Jesus had spoken of. And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, when you return, strengthen your brethren. So at this moment in John chapter 21, when Peter returns, what is it that Peter said? What is it that Jesus says to Peter? Again, he emphasizes that same point. And three times he says a variation to Peter of, feed my sheep. So now Peter is ready. Now Peter is prepared. At that moment, Peter is ready to move into his full potential in Jesus Christ. But also remember in John chapter 21, that chapter where we see that return of Peter. Remember, that chapter begins where we see a number of Jesus' disciples returning back to Galilee. We see that they go on the Sea of Galilee and they go fishing. And in the morning, Jesus appears to them from the shore and he speaks to them. And this is what Jesus says. John chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in the way this is the way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. So this is what I want you to see. Seven of the 11 remaining disciples are all present for this event. Seven of the 11 disciples. But the Bible only mentions three of those seven by name, which kind of tells us there's something significant about those names of those three that we need to pay attention to and be aware of. So who are the three? It's Peter, the doubter. Peter, the denier. Thomas, the doubter. But it's also Nathanael. Nathanael, who was the one who we saw 2 weeks ago, this is the one that Jesus said is one who is without deceit. Now, all of us in our lives, we have all had our moments of Peter. We've all had our moments of being Thomas. But this is telling us that we also have the opportunity on a daily basis to be Nathanael. To be the one that Jesus said was without deceit. And remember, when Jesus called Nathanael to follow him, he said to Nathanael, I saw you while you were under that fig tree. And it was that revelation that Jesus gave to Peter, to Nathanael, that made Nathanael respond and know this was the Son of God. And he says, you are the Son of God. John chapter 1, verses 47 through 49. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, last week we looked at that, and we learn from looking at different scriptural references by allowing the Word to explain the Word. We saw that what Jesus saw Nathanael was doing, Nathanael, the one he called an Israelite, what Jesus saw that Nathanael was doing under that fig tree was struggling with God. I'm not going to go back through it all, but I gave you several different references that point that truth to us. So Nathanael was wrestling, struggling with God, just as Jacob had done centuries before him. Jacob, who his name was changed by God from Jacob to Israel. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and now here's Jesus calling Nathanael, not by his name Nathanael, but he's calling him an Israelite. And just as Jacob had come to a point after that where Nathanael does the same thing. As soon as they were done wrestling, both Jacob and Nathanael, they are ready to become the men of God that they were created to be. And just like Jacob before him, remember, Jacob, when this was all done, said, I have seen God face to face. Well, Nathanael, after he's done with his struggle with God, with his struggle of the will, what does Nathanael do? He comes and he sees God face to face in the person of Jesus. So we can see all those, how all those things tie together. And now, just as it was with Jacob, Nathanael is at that place where he is ready to be used, to become all that he can be in Jesus Christ. But there's another element that pertains to what Jesus saw when Nathanael was under that fig tree. And it's an element that we haven't considered yet. But it's an important element because it's an element that helps us apply this truth. Helps us apply the truth that if we will be able to hear and listen with understanding and with obedience, we will hear the voice of God calling us by name, calling us out of the things of this world, and calling us into our full potential in Him. So remember that Jesus said of Nathanael, this is a man in whom there is no deceit. Well, again, we can learn the depth of what these things mean by going and looking at what other places in the Bible and who else talks to us or teaches us about these things. And we find that there's another place where we learn about one, an individual, who is without deceit. And we learn this lesson from David. This is David in Psalm chapter 32. In verse number 2, it says this, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, just a few verses after this, David then speaks to us about something very important to his life and to our life as well. A few verses later, David talks to us about repentance. He talks to us about confessing his sins and his transgressions before God. Verse number 5, Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. And that really is something we should pause and think about. Because who is the one in whom there is no deceit? It's the one who confesses their transgressions before God. Who is the one in whom there is no deceit? The one who confesses their sins. The one who has that repentant heart, just like David. And remember that Jesus said of Nathanael, this is one in whom there is no deceit. So if Jesus said of Daniel, or of Nathanael, this is one in whom there is no deceit, we can conclude then that Nathanael, after he was done with his struggle of the wills with God, we can conclude that Nathanael then confessed his faults to God as well. Now let me focus on David for just a little bit, because David has so much to teach us about this. And it's important. If we have that heart of repentance, that heart of confessing our sins before God, this is what creates in us that lack of deceit. This is what helps prepare us to open up our ears so that we can hear the voice of God as He's speaking us, as He's calling us by name on a daily basis. So think about David. David keenly understood this concept of repentance, of confessing his sins and transgressions before God because of his sins. His sins are all out there on display for us to read every day. Remember, after David had sinned with Bathsheba, he then compounded that sin by setting up the circumstances by which Bathsheba's husband would be murdered so he could cover up his original sin. And remember, it's Nathan the prophet that came and confronted David. And what was David's response to this? David repented before God. And even though David and Bathsheba, they lost their son that was conceived in sin, they had another son. And they named that son Solomon. Now watch this, I've never seen this before, and this is amazing to me. This is just fascinating. David and Bathsheba named their son Solomon. But did you know that God had another name for Solomon? I didn't know that until just this week. God had another name for Solomon. God had a name for Solomon that was Jedidiah. Jedidiah means loved of the Lord. So following, this is the beautiful picture. What comes after repentance and confession of sins? It's this outpouring of God's love. This is so important for us to understand. This is a concept that's so important for us to grab a hold of, because we don't really talk about repentance a lot, and we don't really talk about confessing our sins. And yet it's a concept that is so vitally important to us and to our ability to open up our ears so that we can hear the voice of God speaking to us and we can hear Jesus calling us by name. It helps prepare us so that we are able to have open ears so that we can hear him calling you by name twice, calling you out of the things of the world and calling you into your full potential in Jesus Christ. This is so important for us to learn and to understand. Here's the verse. This is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 through 25. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word. Remember, Jedidiah means loved of the Lord. The Lord loved him, and he sent word, he God, sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. If you're wondering why sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to us, or if we're not hearing his daily call in our lives, if we're not hearing his daily call in our lives, perhaps this is the moment that we should be going to God with humble hearts and saying, God, what do I need to repent of? Because God knows what hinders my hearing ears. He certainly knows what is hindering my ability to hear him. Now, yes, we walk in his grace and his mercy. But it is that same love and that same mercy. It's in that same mercy that he will show you the obstacles, those things that are keeping you from hearing him. Call you by name on a daily basis and hear him as he speaks to us on an ongoing daily basis. So David, he called his son Solomon, but God gave Solomon a different name, a name that meant loved of the Lord. You are loved of the Lord. God gave a different name. We see in the Bible again and again, God has different names for his people, names that he gives them. He gave Solomon his name. He gave Solomon his name, knowing who Solomon would be and who he called Solomon to be. So, but here's my question for you. What is God's name for you? Because we know, we see throughout the Bible, God does give names, new names to people. We've seen it all through the Bible, but just this morning we've seen it in Jacob, we've seen it in Simon, and now we see it in Solomon. Here's the great news. Jesus has a new name for the living stone of you. Twice in the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks about this. Twice in Revelation, Jesus speaks about the new name that he has for you because you are a believer in him. It is a name that is revealed only to the one who receives it. It is that personal between Jesus and you. It's just like his relationship with you. It's intimate and it's personal. He has a new name for you. This is what it says in Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. This is amazing. I mean, think about this. The one who overcomes in Jesus, the one who is not overcome by the world. And this is why it's important for us to be led out of the things of the world and into our full potential in Jesus. The one who is not overcome by the world because they overcome in Jesus Christ. The one who does not yield himself to the deceptions of Satan. To this one, Jesus says, I will give a white stone, and on that white stone, a new name. He's got a new name for you. It is a name that is intimate. It's a name that is personal. It is a name that is just for you. Now, to really fully understand the backstory on this and what this would have meant when those who here heard these words in ancient times, to understand the depth of what that meant to them, it helps to understand part of the culture of that time. In ancient courtrooms, in ancient courts, verdicts were often revealed by the color of a stone. So if somebody was found guilty in a court case, this would be revealed by a black stone being shown. And then that person was condemned. But a white stone indicated that they were acquitted. So the white stone that is mentioned in Revelation by Jesus, that white stone reveals that you and I have been acquitted because we've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful thing, but there's more. There's always more. Jesus, the word that Jesus used when he spoke of stone, the word that he used for stone in that verse in Revelation that we just looked at, that is the exact same word for stone that was used to give Simon his new name, Peter. The exact same word. And here's what that word means. It means a small stone or a small worn pebble. Small stone, worn. It is a picture of a stone that is worn smooth. It's small, it's worn smooth, it's small, smooth, and unintimidating, right? But remember, David used 5 smooth stones to dispatch his adversary, Goliath. All David had to do was collect the 5 smooth stones, put them in a sling, and let it fly. It's God's hand that directed exactly the direction, and it's God's hand that provided the power that when that stone impacted on the forehead, exactly where God intended, of Goliath, it brought him down and slayed him. You and I, we are living stones in Jesus Christ. And now we can picture that we are that white living stone which he's given a new name to. We are those living stones. All we have to do is just present ourselves to Jesus on a daily basis, and he will use you. He will use you in powerful ways to accomplish his will, just like we saw with David. We need to understand that Satan wants to discourage you on a daily basis. The enemy of your soul wants to discourage you, just like he did on Peter. But you need to remember that you are a smooth, living stone called by name by Jesus, your Savior. So do not listen and do not hear the lies of Satan on a daily basis. Instead, be one who learns to listen and hear with understanding and obedience, just like Simon Peter did. Be one who learns to listen and hear like that, and you become one that will learn to hear your name called twice by Jesus as he's leading you out of the things of the world and leading you into your full potential in him. Jesus saw. He saw the potential that was in Simon. And seeing that potential, he gave Simon a new name, Peter. Jesus sees the Holy Spirit potential that is in you. He sees the Holy Spirit potential that is in you. And he has given you a new name, which he has written on the white living stone of you. He has given you a new name, and he's written on that white living stone of you. And he has a purpose for you. And as we learn to listen and hear his voice, as we learn to listen and hear with understanding and obedience, he will show you. He will take you into the plans that he has for you. He will lead you into all those things. Everything that he has planned for you and everything that he has designed for you. In fact, the word that we read as name in that verse we saw in Revelation, that word that we read as name, where it was talking about the new name, this is exactly what it means. The manifestation of, the revelation of someone's character. See, when Jesus calls you by a new name, he is calling you by a new name, and it's a name that he has given to you because it is a name that he gives you because he sees who he created you to be. It's a name that reflects the personality, the characteristics, the nature, the strength that he has put in you. new name, the manifestation of the revelation of someone's character, that which distinguishes them from all others. Jesus has a new name for you, and it's a name, this new name that he has for you, it distinguishes you from all others. It's personal and intimate between you and Jesus. It's a name that no one else has, and it's a name that no one else even knows. Think of it this way. If your name is Daniel, Daniel's a great name. I mean, Daniel's a name that harkens back to the great prophet Daniel. It's a great name, but it's not a name that is unique to you. It's not unique to you. In other words, if Jesus called the name Daniel and your name is Daniel, you would just be one of millions that answered to that call. But Jesus has given you a name that he has written on the white living stone of you. It is a new name that distinguishes you from all others. It's a name that no one else has, and it's a name that no one else knows. So no one else can answer that call except for you. A name is given you that no one else but you can answer. That's how intimate and personal this is. Now let's go back to David. David repented. He had a repentant heart. And because of that, God changed the name of Solomon to Jedidiah, which is the love of the Lord. Loved of the Lord. You are loved of the Lord. You already walk in that love. Because you are walking in the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. But when we take on the heart of David, when we have that same heart of tenderness to God and repentance for our short fallings, and we confess those sins and transgressions to him, we open up our spiritual ears so that we can hear him calling our name and that we can hear the things that he is speaking to us. The one who learns to hear with understanding and obedience, just like Simon Peter, is the one who will be able to hear their name called twice. If you want to hear your name called twice, we need to have that repentant heart. And he calls you by name twice, again, because he is leading you out of the things of this world and the bondages of this world and those things that hold you back right now. He leads you out of those things and into your full potential, which you have not seen and you have not realized and you cannot imagine, the full potential that you have in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Now, we see a number of times in the Old Testament, numerous times, where God would call a Gentile by name, even under the Old Covenant. Now, for time's sake, I only want to focus on one, but it's important. So when the Israelites, when God's people, when they were in exile, God called a Gentile king by name, Cyrus. And this is what he told Cyrus. This is in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him. And I will unarm and ungird the loins of kings to open doors before him, so that gates will not be shut. Understand, God is calling you by name. He is calling you by name with power to open doors. Does that ring truth to anyone? God is calling you by name with power to open doors. There's doors out there. There's doors that are before you that have been closed your entire life. And we get to the place where sometimes we just accept those doors as being closed to us. But Jesus has called you by name, his personal, intimate name for you. He has called you by name with his power to open up those doors. I have a black bullet book that I just used to write things in that I want to remember. Probably about 4 months ago, Holy Spirit told me to write this in the very front of the book. And I'm going to share it with you because it's not something that is just for me. It can be for you if you receive it as well. But this is what, I should have brought it, you can see. This is what, before I even came to any of this, this is what the Holy Spirit told me a year ago. Doors will be opened for you that are closed for others. Doors will be opened for you that are closed for others. That's true for you too. If you want, you can receive that same truth. That's not just for me. You have been called by Jesus, by name, by the personal, intimate name that he has chosen and he's put on the white living stone of you. He's called you by name with power to open up doors that are closed. So all those doors that are before you that have been closed for so long, this is the time to understand who you are. And as we learn to have that repentant heart so that we can, confessing our shortcomings, confessing our failures, confessing our sins before God, having that tender, repentant heart of David, as we have that, we then open up our ears so that we can hear the things that the Lord is speaking to us. We can call him. We can hear him calling us by name on a daily basis. And as we hear that call, we then know that we can respond in the day. And whatever doors come before you in today, those doors that are closed now or have been closed, you can know that that which is no different than King Cyrus. To you, doors that are closed, doors that have been closed, they are open for you. Doors that are closed for others, however I said it the first time. It was much better the first time, so go back and remember that part. But any closed doors, he opens them. For you, he's given you the power to open those doors. And that's what we need to see, and that's what we need to remember as we move forward on a daily basis. Now, what's interesting is what comes next. So the next verses, or two verses later, we see this, three verses later. This is Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 4. For the sake of Jacob, this is still speaking to King Cyrus. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and of Israel my chosen, I have called you by your name. I have surnamed you, though you have not known me. That's what he said to a Gentile who had no knowledge of him. God spoke to him and called him by name. Now, it's really interesting about the fact that right there in Isaiah chapter 45, that God calls a Gentile king by name. What's really interesting is that takes place only two chapters after that verse where we see God says he's called you by name and claims you as his own. It's just two chapters. The calling of this Gentile king, just two chapters after that verse, that God has started on this whole trek of being called by name. God calls you by name and he claims you as his own. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. God has called you by name and he claims you as his own. I've called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. He called you by name. And as we learn to listen and hear with understanding and obedience, we are then able to walk into the plan that God has for you. And it's a plan for you that will bring glory to his name. Nothing will satisfy you in life more than knowing you've been used by God to glorify his name. And when you walk in that anointed calling that he has for you, God has also said, I will be with you. And I will protect you as you walk through that anointed call. As we live our lives, bringing glory to him. Man, that's a beautiful picture. And then the next thing that God says to you, the one that he has called by name, and the one that he says, I claim you, I claim you, I claim you, I claim you as my own. Here's the next thing that he said. This is verses 4 through 7. Since you were precious in my sight, you've been honored. I have loved you. Therefore, I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Hear this to yourself. God is saying to you as an individual, fear not. He's saying to you, you are precious in my sight. He's saying to you, I have formed you and I've called you. He's formed you, he's called you, and he is releasing. He is bringing his release to you. He's formed you, called you, bringing his release to you. Now, when I read those verses, I thought, there's another place in the Bible where we see this north, south, east, west. And it's from Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 13. And in Genesis chapter 13, this is God speaking to Abraham. And God speaks to Abraham and he says, Abraham, look to the north, look to the south, look to the west, and look to the east. Now, what's really fascinating is when you look up those Hebrew words, the Hebrew word for north, specifically it's saying, Abraham, look to the north, look to the mountains. The Hebrew word that's used for south, it's talking about the direction south, but it's speaking about the desert area, the Negev, which is in Israel. When he's talking about the west, he's talking about the sea. It's the Mediterranean Sea. But what's most fascinating is the Hebrew word that is used when God tells Abraham to look to the east. Because when he says look to the east, it is a geographic direction, but more than that, it means this. It means look back to the beginning. It means look back to the beginning, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Look back to the promise that was there. It is telling Abraham to look back, look all the way back to the promises from the very beginning. This is telling you and I today. When we read these verses, this is telling you and I today to look back. To look back to the beginning, to look back to all the promises that we see in Jesus, all the promises that he has made for us. Look back to all of those promises that you thought had passed you by, those promises that you thought were missed. He's saying, look back to all of those promises because I am bringing my release to all of those promises. Doors are ready to be opened, but it takes you and I to be the ones who will be the hands that will open up those doors in the power of Jesus Christ. It's saying, look back to the promises and remember those promises and live those promises out. This is a time that we're supposed to be opening up the door on signs and wonders and the supernatural. These are the things that we're supposed to be seeing in this time and in this day and in this age. This is why it's so important for us to learn here with understanding and obedience. Now let me end with this. We know that many are called, but what? Many are called, but few are chosen. This is the way it says it in the Amplified Bible. This is Matthew 22, verse number 14. For many are called, invited, summoned, but few are chosen. I think the key word there is, what does chosen mean? Many are called, but what does it mean to be chosen? Chosen here means those chosen out by God for the rendering of special service to him. Many are called, but few are chosen. Chosen by God for rendering special service to him. So let's bring that all to a conclusion. The ones who learn to hear with understanding and obedience, just like Simon, the ones who learn to hear with understanding and obedience, they are the ones who will be able to hear their names called twice, showing that God is ready to bring you out of the things of the world and bring you into your full potential in him. Who are the ones that are chosen? It's the ones who learn to hear and the ones who learn that they are called and that they have a purpose. They do. Jesus has a purpose for each one of us, for each one of you. You are called and you are chosen to render a special service to Jesus. He created you. You have accepted Jesus. You've accepted his sacrifice for you. He dwells in you now and he has a purpose for you. You are called and you are chosen to render special service to him. That is an honor. That's why it's so important that we learn to hear his voice and to hear as he calls us by name on a daily basis. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the intimacy of your relationship with us, your love for us. It's beyond comprehension that you have given us a name, your intimate, personal name. You've given each one of us a name that no one else knows except we who receive it. We're ready to receive it. You've given us a personal name because it reflects and it reveals the very characteristics, nature, strength, qualities that you created in us. And we realize those things. And we are ready to use all of those characteristics, all of those qualities. We're ready to use those to render special service to you. So help to show us. I know it's hard, but help us to come to a place where we can, in great humility, confess the things that we know are our failures and our shortcomings, but we can also, in humility, ask you, what are the other things that I need to repent of? Because you will show us, out of your great love for us, you will show us those things so that we can repent of those things, and we can then open up our ears to hear with clarity your precious voice, speaking to us in love, calling us into the day and the things you prepared for us, calling us into the great possibilities that you have presented us, calling us into the plans that you have for us, that we might bring glory to your name. This is our heart's desire. We thank you and praise you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's stand up and close in praise and worship.